this morning to turn to the book of John, chapter 20. Book of John, chapter 20. We'd like to read the first 10 verses. John, chapter 20, verses 1 through verse 10. The first day of the week, that's Sunday, cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. And she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter, and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, which is John, and saith unto him, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre. We know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, John, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. And as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. These verses, of course, are part of John's account of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Christ is the cornerstone of our faith. It is predicated on the belief that Jesus Christ not only died on the cross, but that he was buried and that he rose from the dead. It is the single greatest event in the history of the world, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. All four gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, give account of the resurrection. It's important that we notice in their accounts that of the resurrection, they all make mention that it was the first day of the week. Matthew says that in Matthew 28 and verse 1. Mark informs us of that in Mark 16, verse 2. Luke informs us of that in Luke 24, verse 1, and we've just seen John informs us of that in John 20, in verse 1. So it was a Sunday that Jesus rose from the dead and came forth from the tomb. And every Sunday since, that Sunday has been set apart by God for sacred use. We need to think about that every single Sunday. God has set it apart for sacred use. He did not set it apart to go to the ball game, to the lakes. He set it apart for a sacred use. It is a day to commemorate the resurrection of Christ. It is a day of celebration. So we see all four gospel writers record the fact that it was the first day of the week. Now, prior to what we read in our text, Christ, of course, was crucified. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all specifically record that Jesus was dead. It is said by Matthew in Matthew 27 and verse 50 that he yielded up the ghost. It is said by Mark, Luke, and John that he gave up the ghost. And John also recorded in John 19, verse 33, concerning the Roman soldiers, he said, when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they break not his legs. So this, we're not talking about a swoon. Jesus Christ was literally dead. He's dead. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John then all record the details or the events of the burial of Christ. They all record that a man by the name of Joseph, who was from Arimathea, went and begged Pilate for the body of Jesus Christ, which is hanging on that cross. In Matthew 27 and verse 58, we read he went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. In Mark 15 and verse 43, and he went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. In Luke 23 and 52, this man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. And John says in John 19, 38, he besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. The Bible informs us that with the help of Nicodemus, same Nicodemus that came to Jesus by night in John chapter 3, with the help of Nicodemus, Joseph of Arimathea took down the body of Jesus from the cross. And may I say that that was no easy task. They would have had to climb up the side of the cross. They would have to pull his hands off and over the nails which secured them to the cross. There was no way they could get those spikes out, especially from the angle of climbing up the side of the cross. Once the hands were loosed, the upper part of the body of Christ would fall into a sheet or a blanket, and then they would remove his feet the same way that they removed the hands. So they take down the body of Christ from the cross. And then all four gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, record how that they prepared the body for burial. The Bible tells us that they wrapped his body in a linen cloth. That linen cloth was mixed with spices, as was the custom of the day. Then notice in John 19, in verse 40, then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices. And then notice, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. As the manner of the Jews is to bury. So nothing of the Jewish customs was forgotten to be done. What this means is, because Jewish custom means that they folded the arms over the chest, they closed his eyes, and then they wrapped his body in that linen cloth. And after they wrapped the body in the linen cloth, they would, out of respect, kiss his cheek, and then they would take a napkin and place it over his face. Notice verse 41 and 42 of John 19. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. Now it was Joseph of Arimathea that owned the sepulchre. There laid they Jesus. So they laid Jesus, he's all wrapped in the linen cloth, in this sepulchre. Matthew records that after they laid the body of Jesus in the sepulchre, that they rolled a great stone in front of the door of that grave, and then he tells us they departed. And I imagine they departed in silence, not saying a word. Perhaps you could hear sniffling, muffled crying. But I doubt seriously that they were saying much of anything. Matthew makes mention in Matthew 27 and verse 61, and there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulcher. They watched the whole proceeding. They watched as they prepared the body for burial. They watched as they put the body in the tomb. Mark says that Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph beheld where he was laid. And Luke tells us in Luke 23:55, and the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after and beheld the sepulcher and how his body was laid. So he who had been betrayed by Judas, he who had been forsaken by his disciples, he who had been denied by Peter, tried by the Sanhedrin, condemned to die, and crucified at Calvary, is now in the tomb. How dead is he? He's graveyard dead. I mean, he's as dead as you can get. Dead is dead. Jesus Christ is now in the tomb. 3 days and three nights, that's 72 hours. 72 hours later, on a Sunday, is when our text takes place. Now, in this message, we want to go to that sepulcher. We want to go to the place in our minds where they laid the body of Jesus Christ. And I want to call your attention to some things that took place on that particular Sunday. But as we go there, we want to especially call your attention to what we read in John 20 in verse 7. And the napkin that was about his head, not lined with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. You have the linen clothes are lying over here. The napkin, we'll use this handkerchief for a napkin, was not just thrown to the side, but it says it was wrapped together. The word wrapped means that it was rolled. It was rolled together. So we will roll the napkin. This is important. You say, what does the napkin have any significance? Well, of course it does. Jesus, the Lord, would not have taken a whole verse just to tell us about the napkin. And he specifically tells us that the napkin was wrapped together and you have the linen clothes and the napkin was placed in a place by itself. May I say, the folded napkin was placed all by itself in that tomb. And that's the subject of our message this morning, is the napkin is still folded. The napkin is still folded. As we observe some of the particular events of that Sunday, I want you to think about this napkin. And I want you to see that the napkin is folded. It's not just thrown somewhere in the tomb, but it is set aside and it is folded in a place all by itself. And we want to look first of all of what the women saw and heard when they came to the sepulcher. John records, he just mentions Mary coming to the sepulcher there in John 20 and verse 1. And he says that it was early when it was yet dark. Luke says that there were other women who came very early in the morning bringing the spices which they had prepared. Mark says that they came with sweet spices that they might anoint him very early in the morning at the rising of the sun. And Matthew says that the women came as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week. From all of that, we simply learn that women came very early that Sunday. I believe the same women who observed the preparing of the body for burial, they came to see. They did not come to see a living Christ. They came to see the sepulcher. They came to perform a work that would be done out of respect and love for Christ. Mark tells us that as they were coming to the sepulcher, they said to themselves, "Who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulcher?" Again, proving that these are the women that had witnessed Joseph and Nicodemus rolling the stone from the door of the sepulcher. To them, that stone represented a problem. To them, that stone represented the finality of death. To them, that stone simply said, "He is gone. He is gone forever." Again, they didn't come looking for the living. They came to anoint the body of Jesus. They came out of respect. They came with sadness. They came with a sense of loss. And I believe they were coming for a sense of closure. And they were sad. They were defeated. And they were discouraged. They eventually arrive at the tomb. And as they were on their way to the tomb, we read that there was an earthquake. Notice in Matthew 28, and this is important because a lot of people get this wrong. Matthew 28 and verse 2, "And behold, there was a great earthquake." Notice the next word, "for." He's going to tell us the reason or the cause of the earthquake. "For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled back the stone from the door, and sat upon it." I want you to realize that the earthquake was the result of the angel descending from heaven. The earthquake was the result of the angel descending from heaven and rolling back the stone. It was not the earthquake that rolled back the stone. It was the angel. Oh, and it just goes through me when people preach, "The earthquake rolled back the stone." No, it did not. The angel that descended from heaven caused the earthquake by rolling back that stone. So when the women arrived at the tomb, Luke informs us that they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. So that was the first thing that they saw when they got to the tomb. The stone has been rolled away. They also saw the guards standing like dead men, frozen in their tracks. What caused that was, we read in Matthew 28 and verse 4, "And for fear of him," that is the angel that rolled back the stone, "the keepers did shake and became as dead men." So they arrive at the sepulcher. The stone is rolled away. The guards are frozen in their tracks. And we read that they also saw an angel sitting upon the stone. And this angel said unto them, "Fear not ye." Well, I imagine they were pretty afraid. I mean, you go to a sepulcher, the stone's rolled away, and the guards are standing there like dead men, you're going to get concerned. So the angel's first words were, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified," again reminding us that he is dead, or was dead. "He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. And then the angel says, come, see the place where the Lord lay. Following that invitation, Mark and Luke record that they went inside the sepulcher. Mark 16 and verse 5, we read, and entering into the sepulcher. And Luke 24:3 says, they entered in. So now, these women are inside this sepulcher. But notice in Luke 24 and verse 3, it says they entered in and found not the body of Jesus. There they are. They're in this sepulcher. They knew that Jesus was there. They saw them put Jesus in that sepulcher. But he's gone. He's nowhere to be found in that sepulcher. Now, up to this point, these women have seen some amazing, extraordinary things. They saw an angel. They saw the stone rolled away. They saw an open tomb. They saw the guards standing like dead men. But the most amazing thing and most wonderful thing of all that they saw that day was Jesus was not there. The most amazing thing was what they didn't see. They went into that grave. They went into that tomb expecting to find the body of Christ. But entering in, they found not the body of Christ. Luke goes on to say in Luke 24 and verse 4 that they were much perplexed thereabout. That is, about this. They were much perplexed when they entered into the tomb and Jesus was not there. That troubled them. So when they entered that sepulcher, they were fully expecting to see the body of Christ. There was no doubt in their mind that he was dead. They had witnessed the brutalities of his death. They had witnessed the laceration of his body. They had witnessed Jesus Christ hanging upon the cross. They had witnessed the thorns crushed into his skull. They had witnessed his gaping wounds. They had witnessed his hands and his feet nailed to that cross. They had witnessed the very death of Jesus Christ. They witnessed the preparation of the body. They witnessed them putting the body into the tomb. They knew that Jesus was dead. They knew that he had to be in that tomb. But glory to God, when they got there, Jesus was not there. And they're standing in the tomb. I mean, you can look everywhere in this tomb. Jesus is not there. He's not there. He's gone. He was in the tomb for 3 days. He was in the tomb for 3 nights. But now, nowhere to be found in that tomb. Keep in mind that though it's not recorded that the women noticed it, and I don't believe they did, because the thing they were caught up with was the angels that were in that tomb. They did not notice that over here the linen clothes are lying, and over here is a napkin folded all by itself. So there you have a tomb. It's not empty. It's empty of the body of Jesus, but it's not empty, because you have the grave clothes, you have the folded napkin, and you have the aroma from all those spices in the tomb. And there's a message in that as well. They then heard the angel speak. He's not here. he's risen. They were looking. What took place? We mentioned this in Sunday school, in the darkness of that tomb. During those 3 days and three nights, no one knows. There were no human eyes there to observe it. But I believe that many things took place in that tomb. I believe in that tomb for those 3 days and three nights, there was a preserving power at work. Because it was not possible that the body of Christ would see corruption. So there was a special preserving power at work in that tomb. And now these women come inside the tomb. And I believe they expected to find a dark tomb. They didn't find it to be dark. They found it to be light. Because the angels had shining garments upon them. Not only was there a preserving power at work in that tomb, there was the alive making power of God in that tomb. After 3 days and three nights, the alive making power of God was at work. Keep in mind, in all of this, you have the linen clothes over here. And over all by itself is a folded napkin. That brings us to our text where we see Peter and John. News reaches Peter and John that the tomb is empty. And we are told that they both ran to the tomb. We read in John 20 and verse 4 that John outran Peter and arrived at the tomb before Peter. And commentators like to spend several pages telling you why John outran Peter. And they almost all come to the same conclusion. It was because Peter was hesitant to meet the Lord because he was ashamed that he had denied the Lord. Then why in the world? And when he got there, he ran right inside. There's a reason why John outran Peter. And it's deep. He could run faster. That's it. That's the reason that John outran Peter. He got to the grave. He got to the tomb. The tomb is just cut out in a rock. There's scripture to show that. But we read in verse 5 of John chapter 20 that when John arrived at the tomb, he stooped down and he looked. The word looked there means that he glanced. He glanced in. He glanced in expecting, no doubt, see the body of Jesus. But just like the ladies, he did not see anywhere in that tomb the body of Christ. But we are told that he did see the linen clothes there in John 20 and verse 6. That is the grave clothes lying. He could see the grave clothes lying over here. There's no body of Jesus. There's no Jesus, but he could see the grave clothes. Well, then we're told that Peter arrives. And I believe he arrives as John is looking in. And we're told in John 20 and verse 6 that he went in to the sepulcher. He went in to the sepulcher. He too discovered what the women discovered. Jesus is nowhere in this tomb. Search high and low, he's not there. He's gone. He is not in that tomb. He was there He was there for 3 days and three nights. He's not there. Did someone steal the body of Christ? I don't think so. Because we're told that John saw the linen clothes lying. They were not in disarray. They were not strewed about. They were in the same condition and arrangement that they were in when they were upon Jesus. There they lie. In the resurrection, I believe that Jesus just simply went through the grave clothes. Just like during his earthly ministry, he walked through walls. He simply went through it. And those grave clothes now, it looks like there's a body inside of them. Just a cocoon. Jesus just left the grave clothes. And when Jesus came out of those grave clothes, the clothes then just settled in place. And they were in a very neat and tidy order. Peter began to look around. And he saw the napkin, which had been placed over the head or the face of Christ. That napkin is not wadded up and thrown to the side. Peter said it was wrapped by itself in a place. If thieves would have stolen the body of Christ, that napkin would have just been thrown in a wad somewhere in the tomb. Somebody took the time and took the effort to roll up that napkin and then go over and place it in a special place. And I believe that somebody was Jesus. I believe that Jesus, the alive working power of God, was at work in that tomb. Jesus came forth. But before he walked out of that tomb, took the napkin and he folded it and he put it in a place by itself. Certainly, that's got to mean something. That is why John mentions it. So the body of Christ is nowhere to be found. There's the linen clothes. All by itself is a napkin. The very napkin that was over the face of Jesus Christ. The folded napkin is significant. There is a message of hope in the folded napkin. There is a message of victory in the folded napkin. It is a message from the master to his servants. Now, in order to understand the significance of the folded napkin, you have to understand a little bit about the tradition, the Hebrew tradition of that day. Peter and John, very familiar with the Hebrew tradition. Jesus also, very familiar the Hebrew tradition. And Jesus took the time to fold that napkin and put it in a place by itself. You see, Hebrew tradition, when the servant would set the table for his master, he of course would make sure that everything was just how the master wanted it. He would make sure that everything was in order, that everything was pleasing to the master. The master would come and sit at the table. The servant would then go perhaps around the corner, somewhere out of sight, and he would wait. He
would wait until the master finished eating. And the servant would not dare touch that table until he knew that the master was finished. When the master would wad up the napkin and just toss it on the table, the servant would then know. The master, he perhaps had to get up for something, or he knew that the master was finished with the meal. As soon as he saw that wadded up napkin on the table, he knew the master is saying, "I am finished, I am finished, I am finished. You can clear the table." That's what the wadded up napkin meant. The napkin in the tomb was not wadded up. The napkin in the tomb was folded. Folded very carefully. A wadded up napkin meant, "I am done. I am done." But if the master got up from the table and folded his napkin and laid it over to the side, servant knew not to touch the table. Because the folded napkin said, "I'm not done yet. I'm coming back. I'm not done yet. I'll be back." So the servant knew not to touch the table. So Jesus, before he came out of the tomb, he took that napkin and he folded it. He didn't wad it up and throw it in the sepulcher. Had he done that, he would have been saying, "I am finished, I am finished, I am done." But Jesus Christ is not finished. He is not done. So instead, he folds the napkin. And what he is saying to his servants is, "I'm not done yet. I'm not finished yet." Peter and John walked with Christ for 3 years. They saw him open blind eyes and deaf ears. They saw him set captives free. They saw him heal the sick. They saw him mend the broken. They saw him give hope to the hopeless. They saw him save the lost. And when they come into that sepulcher, there's the napkin, it's folded. Jesus is saying, "I'm not done yet. I'm not done yet." That is, he still saves souls. He's not done yet. He still mends the broken. He still sets the captives free. He's not done yet. But it also said, "I'll be back. I'll be back." Oh, and it's another message. We've run out of time. This folded napkin says, "Peter and John, I'm not in this tomb, but I'm not finished. I'm not done yet. I'm not done yet. And I'll be back to finish what I've started." Praise the Lord. Jesus, I believe the napkin is still folded. Jesus is saying, "I'm not done yet." And glory to God, he's saying, "I'm coming back to finish what I've started." That gives me hope. That gives me victory. Jesus saved my soul. But there's still a part of it that's not done yet. He's coming back to finish it. He's coming back to finish it. Oh, if you're here today and lost, I want you to know that the napkin is still folded. It's still folded. Jesus Christ is not done yet. He can still save your soul.